Good morning. I have to tell you a little story before I get started. Years ago, a preacher friend of mine was telling a story about a fellow in the church was reading that same scripture you just read. And when he got to that part, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, he said, Eli, Eli, shabam, shabam. I liked your version better. You know, it's not easy sometimes to get these Bible words right. And there have been times in my ministry that, and I apologize, I walk around a little bit, but there have been times in my ministry where someone, you know, just that morning, they just rubbed me just a little wrong, you know, and I'm teaching the Bible class, and we're over here in Genesis, and we've got these hard words, you know, these hard names. I'd say, would you read that for us? So, I'm not really that vindictive. I'm just kidding around here. I'm going to ask you to do something for me here in just a moment, and it's going to be very complicated, and I'm just being honest with you. It's going to be hard. It's hard for everyone that I've ever asked to do this. It's hard for me. It's hard for my wife. It's hard for everyone that's ever been asked to do this, and I'm serious. And so what I'm going to do is that we're going to just take just a few seconds, and I want you to just, if you would, bow your head, and I want you to pray to yourself for just a few seconds and ask God to give you courage to do what I'm about to ask you to do. So let's pray, just to yourself. Amen. What I'm going to ask you to do is I want you to think. I don't want you to say it out loud because, honestly, I just don't want to know. And I don't want to tell you either. But I want you to think about what your sin is. What is it? Every time I teach someone the gospel, I always ask them that question. What is your sin? You know, well, there's lying, cheating, and stealing, and lust and all those other things that Americans, we've got on this. It's about five things. And when you think about sin, you think about lying, cheating, stealing, lust, and I don't know, tailgating or something. What I want you to do is I want you to think about what is on you every day, all day, off and on, all day. What is it? Now, I ask that question to everyone that I teach the gospel to. And the twist is, when I'm sitting at their house, I ask them to tell me that out loud. Now, I'm not going to do that to you today, and I'm not telling you mine either, but when I'm sitting with them, I tell them mine. Bible says, what? Confess your sins to one another. Right? Scary thing for me to sit across their table from them and tell them what my sin is. I want them to know. I want them to know that I'm not perfect, that I make mistakes, and that no matter what, and I love Jesus with all of my heart, and I've done all the things I'm about to ask these people to do, I want them to know that I'm not perfect. And that I don't get it right all the time. The last time, the very last time I did this, was at a couple's house, and the woman said that she had a problem with addiction, drugs. It was a big problem. It was constant. It was every single day. She thought about drugs. She thought about how bad she wanted them. She thought about how if she just had some drugs, she could get through the day just a little better. And her man, the man that was with her, I asked him what his sin was. And he said he had a problem with anger. He said it's bad. It's really, really bad. He said he had trouble controlling himself. I baptized that man. And about a year, almost a year later, I get a telephone call from his brother, who I also had taught and baptized. And his brother told me that he had to run over to that house real quick because his brother had his son down and was enacting some violence upon him. We're cleaning this up just a little bit. He was being rough on his son. And his son had just gone unconscious when this other man got there and drug him off. So he had become a Christian, and his sin that he told me me about was violence and anger and all of that. It wasn't gone. I've got news for you. And I hate to say this, I would like to tell you that the sin that I tell them about when I'm at their house, I would love to tell them that I'm going to beat this and it's going to go away. But I think I'm going to die with this one. And I've met some good Christian people who would say, Joe, you don't have to. Jesus can help you. Listen, does anyone here have any idea why Jesus had to die? Because we're human. Because we sin. It's so tempting to say we make mistakes, and that's what keeps wanting to come out of my mouth. But because we sin, I've got to remember to watch the clock. I was told I had 20 plus 30, and that's 50. When did I get up here, Mark? 5 after? 5 after? Anyway, it's a sin, you know, that I have to deal with all the time. So, all right. You've got yours in front of you, right up in here, and you're thinking about it. I want you to keep that in mind. You know what it is. I've met folks who didn't quite know what it was, but it's there. A woman told me one time she didn't know what hers was, and I found out later, a few months later, she was fighting with her daughter every day on the telephone, who lived several states away. They'd get on the phone and fuss with each other and yell at each other and all kinds of stuff, and I could have told her, maybe it's that. I don't know. Maybe it is. But she has one. Everyone does have something that they have to deal with. Preacher, I met a preacher one time. He said that I had some family that was attending where he was at. And he told me that he asked the congregation, he said, if there's anyone here who does not have any sin, if you don't sin at all, if you've never sinned, raise your hand. My Aunt Daisy raised her hand. She raised her hand and he looked out there at her and he said, Daisy, you've never sinned? And she goes, nope, never have. I love Aunt Daisy. And I'm going to tell you something. She's a pretty good gal. She's a pretty good gal. But I know she sinned. We all have. Every single one of us have sinned. And I appreciate the table talk this morning. He pointed out what's written on the front of this table out here. It says, do this in remembrance of me, lest you forget. Do this in remembrance of me. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23 through 25. So you're wondering, why would we need to hear about the gospel? Why would we need to hear? But we know all about this. Most of us have already been obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ and been baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of our sins. Why should we even care or need to hear about this again? Lest you forget. Because we can forget. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 through 20 tells us that we are to make disciples. That's an obligation. It's not... My wife told me a few days ago, what was it that something was just a suggestion? What was the suggestion? Yeah, we were parking out here, and I said, you know, you're not between the lines out here. She goes, they're just a suggestion. So if you look at our car out here, it's a dented up Toyota that the Ford people at the Lowe's always throw their truck doors into my Toyota. If you see our car out here and it's over the line, it's just a suggestion. But when it comes to the Word of God, it's not a suggestion. Am I right? Yeah. That's right. And He says that we're to go into all the world and preach the gospel. We're supposed to deliver the message. We're His mouthpiece. We have the message. We know the message. We know what we're supposed to do. We know what we have done. And He requires that of us. It's not just something that the preacher is supposed to do. It's not just something that the elders are supposed to do. It's an obligation to all of us. Cowboy churches, biker churches, community churches popped up all over the United States. All over the United States. Probably, what, in 20 years, over the past 20 years, they popped up all over? I know why. They popped up because it became so hard to attend a regular church. I'm talking about, you know, let's just be generic. To attend a regular church without criticism, clothes you wear, and all of those things, it hard to get in there. And these folks that went to these community churches, that went to these biker churches, that went, I don't own a bike, by the way, not even a bicycle. It became very complicated to be there and be a part of it. And we all grew up, a lot of us older folks grew up in churches where we know that that happened. It was hard to be a part of that congregation because so many people there were so good. They were just so good. Until you sat down with them, you spent some time with them, and you had some meals with them, and you got to know them a little bit, you found out later that they had sins just like everybody else. But the folks who were coming in visiting didn't know that because it's kept kind of quiet. Well, now we try not so hard. We try harder not to put on... we want to be good. We want to be a good example for folks, but we try to make sure everybody understands that we're not perfect. I became a Christian January 22nd, 1976. It's 41 years ago. And the day I became a Christian and I came up out of that water, I felt completely different. Now, I don't know if that happened to you, but I felt like a great, huge burden had been lifted up off of me. And I was 16 years old. I had a lot of sin up until 16. I'd been there and done that a few times when I was 16. And so I felt so good coming up out of that water. Felt like it was all gone, and it was. That's how I was taught. So I want to talk to you first of all, this point number one, Mark. Let's start by talking about the bad news. What is the bad news? This is what I teach everybody when I'm sharing the gospel with them. What's the bad news? There is one thing that separates man from God, just one. And that's sin. That's sin. Isaiah chapter 59, verse 2. But your sins have separated you from God. Your sins have hidden His face from you so that He will not hear. That separates you from God. Every single person here has sin. Every single person in this auditorium has sinned, will sin, and will go on sinning, and will die sinning. I have met folks who thought their daddy or their mama was so good that they just couldn't imagine them ever sinning. And I appreciate the fact that your parents were that good, and I really do. But Jesus died for them too, for the same reasons He died for me. Sin separates us from God. What is it? Well, in the Greek, the word sin is hamartia, and it means to miss the mark. So when you sin, you miss the mark. So your top five choices in America for sin, lying, cheating, stealing, and lust, or whatever those top five are that always come to everyone's mind. What about the other things? What about the other stuff? Romans chapter 6, verse 20 speaks of being enslaved to sin. You know that one sin that you just always have to deal with the rest of your life? Romans chapter 3, verse 23 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, even my Aunt Daisy. Everyone has. So the bad news is, you're a sinner. And what is your sin? I always think of the sins that we don't like to think about. Hurting somebody's feelings. Well, they shouldn't be so sensitive. I mean, for crying out loud. All I did was say, blah, blah. You know, being nice ain't so bad. Right? What about that one? What about you're driving down the road and you're doing your thing and you're listening to the radio and the next thing you know, you couldn't slide a piece of paper between your bumper and the one in front of you. And the lady driving the car is white-knuckling it because all she can see is your grill of your red... What is it, the one that people talk about the most? The red Ram... Dodge Ram. You look in the back. The red Dodge Ram is all you see is this massive grill. She's white-knuckling it. She's about to have a panic attack. You tell me that you're not causing her a problem? Huh? Really? So there's lying, cheating, stealing, lust, and all the ones that Americans all like those, and we want to talk about those. But what about these other things?
What about these?
They're there too. Honestly, I think that we need to take a little time and think about how we're treating other folks. It'll make us better people, make us better Christians, make us more effective in sharing the gospel. So the good news is the hope for the sinner. The gospel is the good news, and the gospel is evangelism. And the fact, the story of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that is the good news. And I want you to know that without Christ's life, His death, His burial, and His resurrection, there would be no forgiveness of sins. What is the one thing that separates man from God? It's sin. So it's the problem. So what do we have to do to get rid of sin in our life? We have to think about what was read before the sermon. The crucifixion of Christ. The shedding of Christ's blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. Before Christ, it was all done with the blood of bulls and goats. And at Christ's death, that perfect sacrifice, the shedding of His blood on the cross, that took care of it. So the death, the burial, and the resurrection is surrounded by the cleansing. The cleansing blood that you and I need in order to be saved because of our sin. There is no forgiveness without the shedding of blood. Hebrews chapter 9. So let's look in our Bibles, if you would. Open your Bibles to Romans chapter 6. I think we need to go there. When I am sharing the gospel with someone, I don't go this fast, but Mark tells me that I only have 50 minutes. Okay, Romans chapter 6. I'm sorry, Mark. I'm nervous, so I'm picking on you. Romans chapter 6, verse 1 through 18. When do you contact the blood of Jesus Christ? Romans chapter 1, verse 6, or chapter 6, verse 1 says, "What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace might increase? May it never be. How shall we, who died to sin, still live in it? Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into His death? Therefore, we have been buried with Him through baptism into death, in order that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with Him in the likeness of His death, certainly we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with Him, that our body of sin might be done away, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died is freed from sin. Now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him. Knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again, death no longer is master over Him." I'm going to stop right there for a minute. The death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Water. This is the baptismal, and it's designed to immerse people into Christ for the forgiveness of their sins. There's nothing magic in this water. This is no soap in there. Now what it's talking about here in Romans chapter 6, it mirrors the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Do you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God?
Yes.
Yes, me too. So that's the first step. You believe, and you confess Jesus before men. And then you repent of your sins. You repent of that sin that you thought about just 30 minutes ago. You repent of that sin. Repent means to stop doing it. That's the saddest thing you could ever say. I'm standing up here in front of you when I first got up here. I said, you've got something you're fighting with and you're dealing with it every single day. And you may die with it. You just might die with it. And then I stand up here and I tell you that you have to repent. And I tell you that to repent means you stop doing that. It's a burden. Every single day. Every day. You deal with it. Every single day. You try to put it behind you. Every single day. And if it wasn't for the fact that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins and shed His blood in His death, you would have no hope. So you repent of your sins and you're baptized. You go down into the water, underneath the water, completely, not sprinkled, and not poured, but completely under the water. And then you're raised up out of the water, And the Bible says that when you do this, when you're baptized, you come in contact with the blood of Christ in His death. Where did He shed His blood? He shed His blood in His death. And it says that you're raised to walk in newness of life. You come up out of that water, your sins are forgiven. You are a new creature. You're a new person. You're a new man, you're a new woman. You're a new person. And when Jesus Christ looks at you at that moment, He sees someone that's pure. He sees someone that's clean. He's not blind. God is not blind, and He still knows about that sin every single day you deal with. He still knows about it. Blood of Christ cleanses you of that sin. Can you have eternal life and still walk around with that sin? I wish you didn't have it. I wish I didn't have mine. But yeah, that's how it works. You're not going to be perfect. And I appreciate the fact that you want to be. I would like to be as good as I possibly can, but I'm going to tell you right now, my mouth gets me in trouble. I'm going to mess around and tell you what mine is. My mouth gets me in trouble. And so I deal with it every single day. Every day I deal with my mouth. Let's look just a little further at Romans chapter 6. He says, "For the death that he died to sin once for all, but the life that he lives to God." Talking about Christ. "Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ." So that sinful man or that sinful woman that you were is no longer who you are. You don't want to be that guy. You want to be the new guy. You want to be the new person. You had the burden lifted, and unfortunately you still fight with sin every day. That's the facts. But you're a new creature. You're seen by God as someone that's complete, someone that's whole, someone that's forgiven. "Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body that you should obey its lusts." Fight it. "And do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not be master over you, for you are not under the law but under grace." Don't let it win. I know it exists. I hate it. Hate it. It's not my master. Jesus is my master. I fight it. "What then shall we say? Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? May it never be. Do you not know that when you present yourselves to someone as slaves for obedience, you are slaves to the one whom you obey, either of sin resulting in death or of obedience resulting in righteousness? But thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were committed. And having been freed from sin, you became slaves of righteousness." I wish that when you were baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of your sins and you came up out of that water, that you were never going to sin again. I wish it was that way. But it's just not. You're going to. But you're forgiven. And that's the grace and the mercy and the blood of Jesus Christ that takes away our sin. The new life, living for Jesus every single day. Every day, we make sure that what we're doing is right before the Lord. We pray about it. We talk about it. We give it our all. When we're studying the Bible, we look at the Word and we ask the Lord to convict us in our hearts from what's going on in our life and the sins maybe that we've committed against our wife or our husband or our children or our parents or co-workers. The new life means that we're trying really, really hard to be His child. Complicated, and it's not easy. I've had brethren come to me after a sermon like this and say, "Yes, it is. It is easy." And I appreciate that. I'm glad it's easy for you. It's not easy for me. It's not easy for most of the people in here. And if it's really easy for you, I wish I was you. Because it's not me. hard for me. It's a hard walk every single day. So this morning, if you've never taught anyone the gospel of Jesus Christ, it really is not that hard. You don't have to have fancy printed material. You can just tell them about Jesus and about what separates them from God and what the answer is and how they can get through it. And then you'll be supportive of them when they fall short, because they will, because you do. Why would you think they would? So if there's anyone here this morning that has sins that they need to repent of, would love to pray with you about them. And if you're here and you've never been baptized into Christ and came in contact with His blood and been raised to walk in newness of life, like we talked about a little bit this morning, we'd love to do that too. Anything we can do to help you with, please come down and talk to me while we stand and sing.